We are recording.
All right, we're going to call this meeting of the Audit Committee to order at 4:37 PM on October 29th, 2018. Are there any agenda modifications?
Not for me. If you want to add the discussion about the, you said something about auditor term limits?
Yeah.
Okay.
So no agenda modifications. Correct. Any public comment? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the last audit meeting?
Move approval.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. All right. And we are now to the review of Audit Committee Charter. Mr. E.D.
Yeah, so one of the things we're required to do annually is to review the charter of the Audit Committee. I don't know that I have anything to add beyond the required review. You have it in front of you. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to do my best to address them.
Yeah, the only question I had was there ever like any major changes or anything? I mean, it's pretty boilerplate, right?
Yeah, it pretty much is. I think we did make a change, according to this, back in November of 2012. Which would have been like my third month here. I'm trying to remember what that was. Boy, I just thought it a couple times since then. I don't recall what changed.
You may have taken three meetings down to two.
I think we did. Yep, you're right. Yeah. It's been a major objective from the beginning.
A major objective, huh?
Well,
kudos to you, Mr. E.D. You achieved that objective. Okay. I have no issues. Do you need us to take action?
No.
Okay.
Just that you reviewed it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are finished with the annual review of the committee charter. We'll move on to audit planning discussion. Mm.
You want to?
Sure. I'm looking at the agenda on my phone. as well. I'm trying to be paperless.
We're already there.
So, no real issues that have happened in the past few years. You know, the only issue has been outside of our hands with the reporting information for FRS from the state of Florida, which they have been more timely in the last year than they were previously. So no issues from our standpoint. We're of course going to go in and do our understanding of the internal controls. We'll go to NAI Talcor's offices, perform the testing at the beginning of our audit, and make sure that the controls, if there were any changes, that we note those changes, and then test if there were any changes and how they're operating. And normally the only changes that we've had have been changes in personnel. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been any major change in process, which would go through this committee, and usually I'm notified of that as well when there's any major change in process. So there's no concerns from the auditor perspective. So I would open it up if there's any areas of concern or any items that have gone on during the year that we should know about in planning our testing and our methodology, or any areas of concern.
The only operational changes that we've had has been the addition of another staff person, Michael Tentnowski, which has brought in a couple of other programs, taking the Entrepreneurial Excellence program from a contract operation to an in-house operation. But if anything, I think we have more control over that than we had before. He's doing a couple of other programs, but nothing that's of any significance from a financial standpoint.
If we were to get a number of these grants that we've been applying for, what impact does that have to the process, if at all?
Well, the big thing is with the EDA grant is it will require a single audit. So we have that, and we have that provision in our contract with them that would be discussed separately.
Right.
And that's a threshold of $750,000 in expenditures would trigger the single audit.
So this is a $10.2 million.
That would definitely trigger.
So the big, and that's a really good question, because the big thing we'll have to look at is to make sure that we set up the proper controls to meet the federal requirements. So.
And that is going through the uniform grant guidance and setting up. There are now effective this year new purchasing guidelines. So you'd have to look at the purchasing guidelines to ensure that your policies are in accordance with that. Most people's policies were not in accordance with the new purchasing guidelines, and they did have to make some changes. So anything about, and then just looking at the process to determine allowability on any type of grant expenditures that were to go through. There may be an additional step required if you are to get any of those grants.
Got it. And that's only on the federal side. So like any of the OEV money or anything like that, that doesn't change.
Well, OEV will have its own contractual requirements, but I'm not aware of any special city-county procurement.
Because in this particular instance, it's kind of, because we're going to have, well, I don't know exactly how the money flow is going to work, but you're going to have a lot of different entities all throwing mm-hmm. money to us, right?
The two, basically.
Two, okay. So the FSU.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Three, okay.
Three.
Federal, FSU, and then the OEV. So.
And it depends on the origin of the FSU money, whether or not it's considered state.
Foundation.
Depending
research, on. I'm sorry, Research Foundation.
Okay, and so the Research Foundation historically has private grant fund money, so it's not necessarily state funding that they're receiving, so you shouldn't trigger a state single audit threshold there.
Hmm. Okay, that makes sense. It's private dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those, cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking it into existence.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, please do. But yes, we're aware because, particularly in the EDA grant application, it makes you swear, you know, under oath that your first child will give up if you don't do it. Sorry, Joshua. But,
thank for the part.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right. So, yeah, we're definitely, that's on my list. When we get the you probably don't know, but we applied for a $17 million project to build an incubator across the street.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
There's some special funding opportunities that have been around, so it's a 60-40 split. And so FSU kicked in 2.5, OED 2.5, and LCRDA committed 1.8
mm-hmm.
that we were going to use to do the Collins building, and now we're going to use it to build the Southern Building.
Okay. Yeah.
So we put in the application September 30th, and we're looking at hopefully have a result November, December, in that time frame. So to start hopefully January 1-ish, well, as soon as I get back from vacation.
And I can send any, you know, once you guys meet those thresholds for either the federal or state, I can send guidance to, you know, everyone involved. And so you can look at that guidance and determine what kind of necessary processes and procedures you will need to implement with your disbursements.
Good. That'd be great.
So, and I, you know, obviously with this audit and being a governmental audit, maintaining independence, but sending guidance to you for that does not violate any independence. From our perspective, I'll send guidance to you and just recommending processes that may need to be put in place for allowability of expenses, and then the purchasing processes is definitely the two biggest ones.
Okay, great. And speaking of the future, what about ARB 87 that's coming up for implementation on the lease revenue accounting?
Yes, that should be effective. I keep pushing the date back, and I don't know if it, I don't think it'll be effective for 2019 and maybe 2020 now for you guys.
Okay.
For September 30th, 2020. I can check. They move the effective dates all the time when they figure people aren't going to be ready for the implementation, so I'll check at the latest to see what the implementation date is.
It's just a way of accounting for lease revenue, mm-hmm. and to me it's silly, but
I think it's 2020, so I think we still have some time.
And it won't. It's not going to require anything special from us, I think, in terms of the data or.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how you.
It's reporting.
It's calculating present value and amortizing, basically.
Basically, taking all operating leases and making them capital leases.
Yeah. And using that funky account, the deferred inflow of resources.
Yes. That doesn't make your financial statements easier to understand?
No. Does anybody know what that is?
No.
No, but Ron, you're getting giddy. You just talked all this.
Yeah.
I know. Stuff, man. Like, oh.
I just want you guys to get something on this. Anyway, that's on the radar, so we'll bring that up down the road.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm not aware of any, you know, special audit risks or potential issues. You know, I think it's all pretty much straightforward. I did pick up the work related to the GASB 68 stuff, the FRS stuff. And I think after having gone through it once, I think it'll be a lot simpler. Let's go around. There's a lot of stuff there, a lot of data they like to give you, and it's not always clear what they want you to do with it. So, yeah. Anyway, but I think we'll have it this time a lot quicker.
And if there is any grant awarding activity prior to our issuance date, we'll just need to disclose that as a subsequent event. Obviously, okay. That would be a material subsequent event for you guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we'll just keep in touch on that subject and anything that comes to light, because our issuance date predicted here is February. So
right,
if there's an awarding date or any kind of contract signed, we'll just need to know about that.
And I'm not aware of anything else that could potentially be a subsequent event. That's,
okay.
Of course, it's the ones you don't know about that are
ones to the ones that you have to disclose.
Yes. So I think all the legal stuff in terms of the bankruptcy has been resolved. I mean, can't collect any of it, but we got what we were going to get, I think, for now. But I don't think there's been anything changes, that there's no additional lawsuits or anything like that to deal with. So
that's good.
Yes, that's good
for sure. Anything else from anybody on the audit planning discussion?
Nope.
All right, we'll move on to preliminary audit schedule. Obviously, with the one note that. If we do get the grant, we'll make the adjustment and when that happens.
So basically the driver of this is the GASB 68 information, which we did receive communication from the state saying mid-January.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think they said something better than that last year, and it didn't happen. But we've got a lot of room in the schedule. We're not going to try to force it into February's board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to assume it's going to flow into the April board meeting for final approval. We have plenty of time. I think the June 30th or...
Oh, yes. Yes, June 30.
Yeah. Or what's it, 45 days after you issue your report,
mm-hmm.
or deliver your report.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So don't deliver the report until... So that basically, that's what's driving all of that, and then trying to line it up with potential audit committee meetings and executive committee meetings just prior to the board meeting in April. So.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And that's all I have on that.
Looks like we got a solid game plan.
Sounds good. No action taken, right?
Correct.
Right.
This is a lot of no action taken.
It's important
that action starts November 12th. Actually,
no action.
The action has already started. But.
Right. Got it. No action from this.
Yes,
from this body. Okay. Good. Let's. If there's nothing else on preliminary audit schedule, new business. I will just say that this could be my last audit committee meeting, and it has been one of the great honors of my life to this point, chairing this committee, this valiant group of people. So, but we'll see. Stay tuned. Maybe I'll see you at the next one.
Yes.
There we go.
Maybe you'll be appointing someone to serve.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. There's no new business. Anybody? We go to the order. All right. Then we'll adjourn at 4:51.